All right. Well, welcome to the DFL Swimming Podcast. My name is Casey Stowe, and I will be talking with Desmond Sopshin. We are both former University of Minnesota swimmers. I was a 2025 grad. Des was 2024. I'm currently still living in Minnesota, just a huge swimming fan, and I think we're looking forward to talking about swimming. I'm going to throw it over to Des to introduce himself, and then we'll kind of get into the podcast.
Yeah, like Casey said, I'm at the University of Minnesota, graduated in 2024. I'm currently living in Charlottesville, Virginia, coaching club swimming. I'm really excited to talk about the state of swimming, NCAA swimming, and get after it a bit.
So realistically, I think swimming more than ever right now just needs discussion. It needs people talking about the sport, really bringing a perspective into like what you see in other sports like football, basketball. Get people involved in the sport. And I think that's really what we're trying to do. We got to keep this sport moving. And I think there's no better way than bringing a couple of guys in who have been through the whole system, love the sport. And I think it's just we're excited to see where it goes, and I think it'll take off if people buy in. Let's get into this season, Des. I think that there's a lot of really exciting things happening in the sport this year. There's a lot of new changes, a lot of discussion about roster limits, new meet formats, stuff like that. So I think we should really just dive into it and just get excited about what's to come this season. Really, something that's been a huge topic of conversation over the last year, and it will continue, is some of the roster changes that we've been seeing out there. And so we obviously saw some, it's a tough reality, but there's a lot of cuts going on around the country. What are your kind of thoughts about that, Des?
Yeah, I think it's definitely a trying time in swimming, like you mentioned, and the roster cuts gives swim teams the capability of keeping their teams in trying times with NIL, with the house versus NCAA, and with the transfer portal. It adds a lot of newness to the sport that, can be very scary looking at it from outside in, but it also adds a lot of new opportunity to the sport and new opportunity for swimmers as well. The roster size, like you mentioned, seems like kind of the biggest change, right? You go from some teams having upwards of 50 plus swimmers on each side to, cutting down to 20, 25, 30. So really, really big changes that opens a lot of space up in the transfer portal. Swimmers going everywhere, getting cut from different teams and joining different programs. Again, trying times, but also opens up a window for different programs and different swimmers all around.
Yeah, I mean, I think the portal is something that we've never really seen here in swimming. And I think it adds an interesting perspective, and it changes the game, I think. And I think it's something that's that will change over time as potentially more NIL is coming into the sport. But I think as the dust kind of settles here after these roster changes and stuff like that, I think it'll really set the stage for an improved and hopefully more, even playing field across the NCAA. And I think that's a good thing. So obviously a lot more to come on that as things kind of, continue. But I think there's even some other discussion, coming around right now with some of the rule changes here in the sport, some of the new formats of meets and stuff that we got going on. Just want to touch on that a little bit there, Des?
For sure. Kind of what you mentioned, NCAA is changing some rules, underwater camera used for DQs, stability of new scoring format, prelim scoring 9 through 16, which currently by the NCAA is being looked at. And what I think is the coolest new thing is the dual meet tournament, a possibility of a really big change in our sport, pitting teams up against each other in a 3-day format and kind of just trying to get more interest in the sport, right? Making dual meets matter a little bit more and making the sport more fun, trying to change it up a little bit. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think you see in a lot of other sports like baseball, softball, those sports where even basketball, where you have the, in-season champion of each conference, and then you move into like the more championship style format where you see like March Madness, things like that. I think it's really going to be interesting to see for example, this dual meet tournament goes this season and how you could potentially turn that into something that takes place within each conference, for example, each year or otherwise, where you start getting a more serious like ranking system like we see in football, where you can start matching out teams in that way for tournaments throughout the year. And I think it's really going to be interesting to see how this meet goes. And I think it's going to be lining up. It's not too far away. So I think it'll be an exciting one to cover here coming up. So
yeah, I'm excited to kind of see how that goes. Like you said, I think that it also gives teams opportunities, obviously, for more swims and to compete with other teams that they might not normally compete with. In previous years, even when we swam, you know, you had dual meets, a few dual meets from October through November, and then that was really it. You might have a few more sprinkled in January, right? But this kind of adds a little bit more to each team's schedule in general, right? More opportunities to swim, more opportunities to swim fast, and just pit each other up against each other and kind of see what team comes out on top. Dual meet is definitely a different scoring format than an NCAA, right? Like you have to deal with depth. You can't just lean on your NCAA scorers. And I think it definitely adds a new element to the sport and makes dual meets a little more important, right? When we swam, we would swim dual meets and the outcome was the outcome, but it didn't mean anything. You go into a tournament format and it's like, all right, you win this tournament. Like, what could that possibly do in the outlook of the rest of your season? And I think that'll be really cool moving forward to see what the NCAA and teams come up with.
I mean, yeah, I think the variability piece of it, I think, makes it really interesting where, I mean, I believe that the format that they're following here coming up at Georgia Tech is they will be deciding between either doing, I think it's like the 200s of stroke or the 100s of stroke for each meet with one of the sprint frees. And I think that like that adds like such an interesting, unexpected take on or like outcome potentially, depending on the composition of a team. If you find out that the score or the event lineup is going to be the 200s of stroke, it's going to be a heck of a lot different in a team that's a lot stronger in the sprint strokes and sprint free, let's say. And so I think that's going to maybe hopefully introduce more that you might not see over a dual meet where you can really show the depth and the overall quality of your team. When you take some events out, it's really going to expose you if you're lacking in a specific area. And I think that, you know, adds a pretty cool, like unexpected piece to dual meets that we haven't seen before. So
we got a lot of solid teams in the tournament too. We have Army, Auburn, Florida State, George Washington, Georgia, Georgia Tech, Minnesota, and NC State. So we got a few powerhouses in there and some sprinting prowess as well. So it'll be a lot of fun to kind of see how that all shakes out and see if that tracks up an audience a bit.
I hope it does. Let's dive in here. We got a lot of teams in the NCAA that lots chains, lots of big recruiting classes coming in for some schools, lots of returning points at NCAAs, you know, transfers coming in here and there. So I think it's important that we, you know, talk a little bit about here on the men's and women's side. What are the teams that, you know, have really started building some momentum into the season? What teams have a lot of hype around but haven't yet proven themselves? And what are the teams that really are going to have to, you know, figure out how to piece those points together again at the end of the season come NC's times? Let's get into that.
Yeah, a few of the teams we're looking at here. Obviously, University of Texas on the men's side. Won NCAAs last year, bringing back a lot of points, a lot of really, really good swimmers. Going to be hard for teams to kind of chase after that. Virginia, University of Virginia, they have one of the biggest, if not the biggest, freshman class to ever come through the sport, right? What can that freshman class do to kind of take that team to the next level? Their women's program has been outstanding over the past 5-6 years. But their men's program has had a lot of ups and downs. So will this freshman class bring in some stability and some points that can potentially take them to the next level, top 10, top 5 team in the next upcoming years? And then you look at a team like Florida. You know, they're bringing back one of the, if not the best swimmer in the NCAA with Josh Liendo and a lot of amazing sprinters, as well as just got in some good distance swimmers as well. So that'll be interesting to see. And then you have a team like Cal, who is always at the top of their game when it comes to NCAA swimming. Like, comes to the NCAA meet, they're always there. They always show up and swim, but we don't really know what they're bringing to the table this year. They like to bring in their transfers midseason. Maybe Dave Durden, you know, pulls something out of his trick hat and pulls in a couple transfers midseason to score NCAAs, or, you know, maybe we're looking at the downfall of Cal, not really sure. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think, you know, I think there's been years where, you know, Cal's coming really hot and years we were like, oh, they seem like they're missing some pieces. You know, time after time, there's seemingly some bodies that show up at NCs and perform at the highest level. And so I think that'll be a really interesting story to follow. But I think You know, when you talk about a school like Virginia with this recruiting class that they're bringing in, Maximus and Thomas, some of the biggest names, I think that it'll be really interesting to see. You have someone like Thomas who's performed at the highest stage, basically, already. He's swimming at the Olympics, Worlds. And you have someone with like Maximus, who obviously has NCAA scoring performances at this coming in, but hasn't necessarily swam against the type of talent and depth and competitive environment that you deal with at some of the biggest meets that people swim at in college. And so I think it'll be really interesting to see how these kids transfer over into that college format. I mean, it really could swing Virginia into top 10, top 5 scoring position come year end if things turn out for them. And so I think that'll be an interesting thing to follow. When you talk about Florida, I think they're just perennially bringing in top talent. I mean, when you have that Bobby Finn and Katie Ledecky training group, I think that distant talents is really going to keep trickling and hitting there here and there. When you got people trying to get in that training group, I mean, Leando is just a beast. He's got the clutch gene. We've seen it year in, year out, and so I think they're really gonna, you know, they're gonna be there like they always are. So,
when you think of Florida, you typically over the past few years, specifically, like, they have had good distance swimmers, but what's really been carrying them is actually their relay swims. You think that bringing back that distance prowess in the NCAA format will kind of vault them up in the rankings, or do you think that's something that might take some more time?
Yeah, I think it's an interesting point. I mean, you look at their relays that have just been, I mean, stellar over the last couple of years when they got pieces like McGuire McDuff and Adam Chaney. They don't have either of those guys anymore. You know, I think it's really interesting to think about how they're going to replace some of those guys. It's tough, but I think that, you know, personally, Scotty Buff, I think, really has a big opportunity to step up like he started to do last year and move into some of those roles. And I think for them, I like what you're saying there, that, you know, I think they really build off those relays into their individual swims. And I think if they can keep moving in that direction, get a few more individual guys into some finals this year, that they're really gonna, you know, keep trending in the right direction. So, you know, looking forward to it.
For sure. Like you mentioned, going on to the women's side here, the three teams that really stand out are Virginia, Texas, and Stanford. When you look at returning points, they're all right there next to each other, right? You have University of Virginia returning 215, Stanford 197, and then Texas 182. And then below them is Tennessee with 88. So there's a big drop off there. And the really big question is, you know, Virginia, after losing a Gretchen Walsh and Alex Walsh, I mean, some of their top swimmers, they obviously still have the top swimmers there with, you know, Katie Grimes and a lot of those other ladies that are here in Charlottesville. Are they able to stay on top and win their sixth title in a row? Or is a team like Texas and Stanford primed to kind of dethrone them?
Yeah, I think, you know, you look at a team like Texas where you got Bob, I mean, really just cranking out talent. I mean, you just look at the pro group there. It's pretty hard to, pretty easy to recruit to top level swimmers who are looking to take that next level that he's been able to show, has shown that he's able to bring people to. You know, I think it's hard to argue that Texas isn't going to keep moving in the right direction. So it's really a matter of how does Virginia retool kind of the team that they had last year, losing some of those stars like Gretchen and Alex. How do they find some of those points that they're missing, some of those relay studs who are always going to perform and bring them to, winning top three scoring points in all relays? I think it'll be really interesting to see. I think it's hard to say that they, it's difficult to see that they won't do that to a certain extent. It's just that with a hard charging team like Texas and even Stanford with a new head coach, I think it's really going to be a great battle that's is going to shape up come March championship time. And we have a lot of time to cover that and see how it's going to seem like it's going to shape up. So I think it's going to be great. So let's get into some of these transfers that we were talking about a little bit before, unless you got anything else on that, Des, on the women's side.
I was going to say some names to kind of keep an eye on there for Virginia to step up. You have Claire Curzan, who scored 57 points last year. Katie Grimes, who, you know, obviously one of the most outstanding swimmers in the past 5-6 years to come out in that 2021 Olympics. And then Leah Hayes, who had just an outstanding summer. You're really looking for those three girls, along with their depth, to really step up. And kind of fill in those spots of the Gretchen and the Alex, right? And, you know, no one's going to be Gretchen Walsh, but can you have a summer step up like Claire Curzan and win multiple individual events that can kind of score those points for UVA, right? And fill in those relay spots and really kind of take them to the next level. I think those are some names you want to look out for Virginia to see if they can kind of repeat there.
I mean, you read those names and I think it's, you hear instantly U.S. national teamers, people who performed at the Olympics. I mean, someone like Claire is, I mean, the performances that she's been in the 200 back last year, for example, taking a huge step there. Can she keep moving, take a massive step in the 100 back, 100 fly, whatever she decides to swim? I think it'll be really interesting to see. And I think it's going to shape up for a big one. Let's talk a little transfers. I think there's some interesting storylines there. You know, like we talked about, transfer or the roster limits making some things interesting. People coming back from red shirts, stuff like that. I think you end up with some people coming back into the picture who can be absolutely game-changing pictures. And I think I look at a team like Arizona State, who obviously coming off a win 2 years ago, came back with another very strong year with the sprinters that they have, and still just great depth on that team. They're bringing in people like Adam Cheney, Remy Fabiani from Cal Baptist, JT Ewing from NC State, Jordan Tiffany from, I mean, he's been here there. BYU was committed to Texas here, ending up at ASU. I mean, that's a lot of talent just in those four names. And I think it's hard to say what shape some of those guys are going to come into after maybe not being in the college system for a year. You look at those guys at their peak, those are NCAA changing names right there. And so I think it's going to be really interesting to see, as we see other transfers pop up around the NCAA, we'll really start to get a clear picture of, wow, these guys are going to, you know, make a huge difference on whether it's on relays, individual points at the end of the year. On the women's go ahead.
Those transfers are going to be huge for ASU. It almost seems like they're taking a note out of the Florida book right now, right? Like, those are pure sprinters who are going to possibly help you win a couple relays. If you really want to go up, move up in the rankings, NCAAs, like, winning relays is huge for that. You know, they obviously have Ilya, they obviously have Kulo, but they had some holes last year in their relays that I think that they're really trying to fill. It seemed like they're trying to fill this offseason. So it'll be interesting to see kind of where that takes you, right? Like, when Bowman left after they won their NCAA title at ASU, people really weren't sure what was going to happen there. But Herbie's really stepped up, brought in some transfers, and he's taken ASU into an absolute sprinting powerhouse. And I'm excited to see, like you mentioned, what those transfers do this year.
I think something that's pretty interesting with this transfer portal era now, that you see in sports like football, if you're missing a piece, now on relays, let's say, so ASU maybe was a little bit lacking on the backstroke legs with Lucy and Vern. You bring in a guy like Adam Cheney, who's proven 44 low, 20.1 backstroker. With Cheney at top shape, you're really looking at elevating those relays to a whole nother level of, not like maybe from fighting to get in that top, that A final at NCs, to score in the top eight at NCs, to fighting for that top three, fighting for that win, which they're definitely going to be looking for with the depth of sprinting that they see elsewhere on that team. I think that's going to be a great storyline to watch this year.
On the women's side, the biggest transfer to mention is obviously Bella Sims to Michigan. Took a really, really big step last year under their second year head coach, and they popped up to ninth place on the woman's side. Not only does Bella Sims add that top perennial speed, but she's going to score them a lot of individual points. That 800 free relay is going to be looking really nice coming March. Really excited to see what she adds to that team.
I mean, and I think you think about when you get a swimmer of that caliber into your program too, just the level shift that you can see and the trickle-down effect of having such a great talent. I mean, they already made a huge step forward last season at Michigan. Bringing in a Bella Sims, does that take it to a whole nother level? Are you going to have people taking that extra step too, from NCAA B finalist to A finalist? And when you look at that, there's potential for a lot of points to kind of snowball. I think Michigan has the potential to take another huge step. Not only, I mean, the Big Ten level last year, but is it going to be at the NCAA level this year? So Definitely looking forward to that.
Bella Sims adds that top speed, right? She was one of the biggest recruits coming out of Sandpipers a few years ago. She swam well at Florida, but not exactly the hype that they thought they were getting. And, you know, if Michigan can turn her around and get her back on track, I mean, she's been 428, 500 free, you know, 21.8, 140 point. You know, she can swim the backstroke. She can swim IM. Like, she is a swimmer who has the capability to win multiple events at the NCAA level if she's on the top of her game. That's just, like, one of the biggest transfers that we've seen since the transfer portal has really started to become a big thing.
Yeah. It's really, really interesting to see. So I think there's we can cover all the names out there for, I think, all day. But I think when you look at some of the meets that we had this summer, there's definitely some people that to keep an eye on as we move into this season. I think someone looking at Luca Orlando, someone who just had an absolutely massive summer season, really getting the only gold medal on the med side at World Championships, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, massive swim there. And I think he had already had a great season last year. Is that step that he took this summer a product of that NCAA season last year, or are we going to see something that we've never even seen before from Luca coming this year? I think that's something that's really interesting to see, especially on such a strong Georgia team already. Is he going to really get people to rally around his talent to, you know, get into that top five battle that they maybe haven't necessarily been in years past? So that'll be an interesting storyline. I think you also think about someone like Campbell McKean at Texas, who had a standout trials meet this year. Obviously, maybe didn't perform to his expectations then at Worlds, but going into being a freshman at Texas with someone like Nate Germanprez already at Texas, I mean, that's going to be just a nasty duo that they got down there in the breaststrokes coming into this year. So any other names standing out to you, or what do you think, Des?
Those are really the two big ones when you look at the summer standout. Going back to Luca, he had a shoulder injury almost 2 years ago now that really derailed kind of his trajectory. Coming out of high school, one of the top recruits, big pickup for Georgia, and he had that injury, and we really haven't seen Luca the way that we thought we were going to until this past season and this summer. And I really think that is kind of the step that he needs to take. And I'm kind of with you. I think we're going to see something pretty crazy this year. But when you look at kids who swam really well in the summer, that almost always translates to the NCAA season coming after. So really excited to see what those two do.
Yeah, and there's going to be a lot more names too, I'm sure. I mean, I think when we were swimmers ourselves, I think, you know, one of the biggest things emphasized to us was that you come out of a great summer in the long course pool. I think things tend to fall in line come short course season, and usually you can set yourself up for a big year. And so there's going to be a lot of people that we see making big steps early on. And I think you're going to start to see that early in some of these dual meets. I think you're going to set ourselves up for a pretty good year. So,
you know, moving on from that, not only have there been a lot of swimmer changes in the portal, but there's also been a lot of coaching changes. You know, Wisconsin made a big new hire, Jack Brown coming from North Carolina. You know, what does that do for Wisconsin? What do you think?
Yeah, you know, I think with Yuri Sugiyama at the head of Wisconsin, they definitely made big strides, especially on the women's team. I mean, huge improvement in terms of, you know, the talent that they had, and then led to, I mean, I would say very successful NCAA scoring. They didn't maybe quite make the same progress on the men's team, but certainly built a very strong roster during his tenure at Wisconsin. I think it's going to be really interesting to see Jack Brown coming in from UNC. I mean, they had the best NC's meet of my recent memory last season. Just standout performances here and there really just matched or bettered a lot of their conference performances. And I think it'll be really interesting to see how he transitions over to a Wisconsin team that has a lot of talent, losing people, big pieces like Phoebe Bacon, for example. How do they continue the momentum that they had on the women's team and build on the men's sides?
I really wonder if, you know, he brings that momentum from North Carolina. I mean, they really built that program up there, and he was a really big part of that. It'll be interesting to see. You know, Wisconsin has always had amazing success in the pool. You've had names like Phoebe Bacon, you mentioned, Beta Nelson, obviously, Drew Tedites. Like, there's been a lot of big names that have come through there, NCAA titles. You know, can he take what he did at North Carolina and implement that at Wisconsin and make a big change and keep things kind of rolling for them.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you look at another team that's interesting is Notre Dame coming off with a new coaching change. Michael Norman coming from Georgia. You got a couple of rotations there with Chris Lindauer heading over to the Stanford women. We'll touch on that a little bit. I think it'll be really interesting to see with especially the Notre Dame men coming back this year off the suspension, you know, how that slots back into the fold. They, I mean, just had an absolute standout NCs the year before the suspension with so much momentum probably building to this previous year that didn't eventually get to, you know, come to fruition. But I think it'll be really interesting to see how they come back into the fold and how Norman, you know, like rallies that group into one cohesive program again that's going to, I mean, there's still a lot of talent there. So I think it's going to be really interesting to see.
Yeah, I'm interested to see kind of what happens there. Michael came from a club swimming background. So I think he really knows how to, develop swimmers and really kind of build up a culture. I mean, you have someone like Tommy Janton, who's coming off of a very successful season. One of those swimmers we didn't mention before, but absolute outstanding season, made Team USA. He's going to be their big name. And can he kind of help take that team to the next level, right? They were under a year of suspension, but they still brought in a lot of really, really big recruits, a lot of top recruits that are really going to look at making a big impact in year one. It'll be interesting to see kind of what Michael has going on there and if he can kind of keep that momentum going on the men's and women's side.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And when you look over then with Chris Lindauer coming out of Notre Dame, heading over to the Stanford women, I think it's a really interesting move with a Stanford women's team that, you know, had so much great success in the, you know, mid 2010s era with Katie Ledecky and Simone Manuel coming through during those years. I think it'll be really interesting to see if he is able to step into that program and get them moving back towards that championship expectation that they had for so many years there before, you know, UVA and kind of took their role in that spot. I honestly think it's a good move for the program to, you know, bring in someone fresh who really had built a great Notre Dame program before, you know, obviously the suspension and other things. But I'm really personally excited for that move to see how, you know, he steps in with a Stanford team that's really primed to potentially make a run at it this year. So it'll be a great one.
Yeah, like I mentioned earlier, I mean, they're bringing back the second most points on the women's side. So, you know, he has the team there. Like, what can he do to kind of take them to that next level and win that title? Really, really looking forward to the season coming up for the Stanford women. Are they going to get back to that prowess you're kind of talking about?
Yeah. It's going to be great stuff. So as far as coaching, I think there's some other moves here and there around the NCAA, but I think we can, you know, cover some of those things as we keep moving forward. I think one interesting story that I saw recently that I'll be interesting to see how this develops. I don't know if you saw anything about this, Daz, but the article about Texas apparently still having 30 people on their roster. It's really an interesting play after we heard that the SEC was going to start the roster got put at 2022. Texas seem to have outsorted the system here a little bit, managing to keep 30 guys on the roster, something that they've always been able to, you know, capitalize off of in previous years. When you got a big team, you're able to really sift through the talent and really let the cream rise to the top in a way. I think that's one interesting dynamic that the smaller rosters were going to bring was with 22 guys. You got to make sure that those guys are firing on all cylinders. You can't, you know, allow for people who aren't going to be performing on a team that's that small. And so I'm interested to see how this will play out and if the NCAAs are going to make any changes on this. What do you think? What do you think about this and if this should really even be allowed?
Yeah, you know, I'm not really sure what kind of magic Bowman pulled on that one. He's almost taking one out of Eddie Reese's book. When you look at when Texas was winning their back-to-back championships and they were really the team to beat, I mean, they had 50 guys on the roster, right? And like you said, they could just kind of pick and choose and develop all these kids. And, you know, odds are when you're bringing in a lot of top recruits and you have 50 guys in the team, like you're going to get some sleepers in there and some kids who really stand out that, you know, you might not really find when you have a team of 22 kids. You know, the fact that they're somehow carrying 30, I'm sure it's going to help them out in some way. Bowman pulls his magic and he's a really, really good developer of swimmers. So really interested to see kind of how that plays out throughout the year, what the NCAA has to say about it, kind of moving forward.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, I think that puts us in a good place, I think, to start here. You know, we get the conversation moving. I think, you know, there's no better way to finish off our first podcast, testing this thing out, than just putting ourselves out there with some NCAA prediction to start the year without barely seeing a lick of in-water action yet. But let's do the darn thing, all right, Des?
Yeah, what are your predictions for the year?
All right. So on men's side, I think it's pretty hard to argue against Texas at this point. I think the amount of returns they got on that team, I mean, you name it. Hubert Koch, that one's a heater. You got people like Nate German-Prez. You can go down the list, basically. I think there's a lot of talent on that team, and it's really hard to argue against them for the win this year. When you start getting into those second, third, fourth, fifth spots, I think you can really start to have a conversation, at least in my opinion. So in second, I'm gonna take Florida this year. I think they're a team that's shown they can be consistent at NCs every single year. And I think they've only started to build on that. I think in years past, they maybe had a couple misses here and there, but they've built that consistency each year. And I think they're going to continue to do that this year, especially with some of the big names they got coming in. On the third spot, I'm going to take NC State. Now, this one I might catch some heat for this. I don't know. But I think they've had a lot of great recruiting classes over the last few years. And I think this is the year that they're going to put it together and really take a next step. You got Aiden Hayes coming back off injury from last year. I mean, he is a perennial performer when he's swimming at NCs. And I think it'll be really interesting. I look at him to kind of lead that team to that third place finish this year. Now, do you want to go through the men's or you want me to do my women's here first?
Let's hear your women's. Let's hear it.
All right. So one side, I think we kind of already discussed this a little bit, but you know, you really got a three-headed monster of Stanford, Yale, and Texas. And I think you could probably make an argument to shake it out with each one of those teams winning. And so I'm going to go on a limb and I'm going to take Stanford this year. I think with the move from Chris Lindauer, they go and they take the whole dang thing right out of UVA's hands, and we'll see how they respond to it. I got UVA second. I'm going to take Texas third. I think Texas has a great thing going with Bob at the helm there. But I think they're going to maybe need a couple more years to keep developing that program. And, you know, on the men's side, they brought it from, you know, starting to fade to right back up to the top instantly. I think this women's side is going to take a couple more years, and not to say they won't do it, but I think that'll round out my podium. So let's hear what you got, Des.
I like it. On the men's side, you know, I can't really argue with that. Texas number one. I also had Florida number two. But my number three team is actually going to be Tennessee. I understand that they lost Crooks, but they're really bringing back a lot of points here. And I'm really excited to kind of see what they can do and if they can score some relays. I think that third spot's going to be between Tennessee and the same team we mentioned earlier, Arizona State. If one of those teams, both really, really big sprinting programs, if one of those teams can pull out a couple relays, one of the medleys, the 200 relays, the 400 relays, you're really looking set yourself up for success in the season. Those relays are really big points. And I think whatever team out of Tennessee and Arizona State can kind of pull out a couple of those relays is who's going to take that third spot. On the women's side, I'm going to have to disagree with you here. I got UVA at number one. What Todd has built at UVA, there's something in the water. You lose someone like Gretchen, like Alex, obviously really big pieces, but they're just going to reload. They have just a plethora of incredible women here at the university. I think that their distance program is going to take a big step this next year. You think of UVA, you think of obviously sprinters, but you had a girl like Katie Grimes come in last year, and they have a lot of depth behind her. And I think that that's kind of going to take them to the next level and give them this title for their sixth title in a row. And then my sleeper pick on the men's side, actually, I'm going to throw this in there. We talked about them. North Carolina had an outstanding meet on the men's side, but I think that they're going to take another step this year. We look at their summer. They had an outstanding summer long course. You know, PJ Foy, Ben Del Mar, just absolutely outstanding in the long course pool. And I think that's going to translate over to the short course pool. And I think we're going to see another step from them. And I think we're going to see a top 10 finish this year, possibly even top eight. That's my hot take for the year.
All right. I like it. I think it's going to be an interesting one to follow. I think, you know, I think you're just to touch on it one more time. I think Tennessee is an interesting pick. I think we almost did them a disservice by not even bringing their name up once until the predictions here at the end. But you got someone like Guy Caribe on that team who just had a stellar summer at about 47 low, 100 free, and 21 low, 50. I think he's someone that these guys can really rally around without Crooks there this summer and, you know, keep hopefully the progress continuing that they've made over the last few years. So I'll be keeping an eye on that UNC pick as the season carries on. But I think with that, I think we'll probably wrap out this first episode. I would love to hear from people out there, you know, what you guys want us to cover, talk about, discuss about this upcoming NCAA season. I think that's really what this podcast is all about, is getting discussion stirred up out there in the public and the swim community about swimming. And I think that the NCAA is really where that's going to start. I think we got to make some moves in this sport and continue, you know, get this sport on it moving in the right direction. So I think from there, Des, you got anything before we close this one out?
No, I'm really excited to keep talking about the state of swimming, NCAA swimming, and just get some conversation going. Like Casey said, first episode, kind of just general information, but we're really going to keep diving into it once the meets start here coming up this next month, and really do kind of a deep dive into the teams, the meets, and kind of what we're seeing, and maybe update our predictions as the season goes on.
Exactly. All right. Well, with that, thanks for tuning in, everybody, and we'll catch you in the next one.